At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
So why do you want to learn a new language? I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Welcome to Star Talk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. Star Talk begins right now.
Hello, hello, Bill Nye the Science Guy here, sitting in for Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm your guest host for this week's Star Talk Radio, and our guest this week, everybody, is none other than Chuck Nice.
Hey, how are you, Bill?
Well, now that I'm here with you, I'm fabulous.
You know what, Bill? You had me at I'm Bill Nye.
So it's great to see you. It's great to, of course, the word see is something you have to imagine on the radio, the most visual medium, but my understanding, Chuck.
Yes.
Is you have some questions that our listeners have provided.
Absolutely. This is what we call our cosmic queries, and you do not know the questions. I have them here in front of me on my little tablet device.
I'm feeling the drama.
And what we do here is we just allow our listeners to submit any question that they would like. And when I say any, I mean, indeed, any.
I believe you. In my understanding now, these questions are submitted on the electronic internet, on those computer machines that the kids are using. And so they've not only, you got a Twitter handle.
Yes.
And you have a photo, you have sort of a visual.
Yeah, well, you know, what's funny is this is the first time I've actually used my tablet to access the questions, which means that I am able to see not only the questions, but I'm able to see the Twitter handle, their profile pictures. Some of them are coming in from Google+, some of them from Facebook. So I literally have either an avatar or a picture of the person who's asking me the question.
You have a picture that they've chosen to send you.
Yes, a picture. Like, I'm pretty sure this cat didn't ask our first question.
Well, it depends.
You never know.
A cosmic cat. Yes, so try the first question.
All right, let's jump right into this, Bill. This one is from Google+, and this is Michelle Rivera. And Michelle wants to know this. What's the closest that any comet has come to Earth? And what was it named? And when did it come close? Also, what's your favorite ice cream?
We'll finish with the ice cream. But I think the closest comet would have been Comet Halley.
Comet Halley.
Yeah, back in 1910, I believe it. People that you could read at night by the light reflected.
By the light of the comet?
Yeah, so it is reported. And so then you could argue, if you want to, which is fun, that perhaps the impactor that became the Chelyabinsk bolide, the glowing thing in the sky over Russia last year. Or maybe you could say, what about the Tunguska event blowing down trees for hundreds of kilometers in every direction. That's coming real close when
let's go back to that one, okay? Because the other stuff I've heard, now go back to Tunguska.
That was a party, 1908, June 30th, as reckoned in the modern calendar.
Okay.
You know, back then, even Russia, they, because of their historical affiliations with certain religious organizations, they didn't agree on what calendar to use. But in the modern calendar is the 30th of June, 1908. Something hits the Earth's atmosphere so hard. How hard did it hit? So hard that it blew up. Knocked down trees hundreds of kilometers from, just like Chelyabinsk.
Just a shockwave.
Yeah, only more so. And I remind you, last year in Chelyabinsk,
right.
There's so much insurance fraud. How much insurance fraud is there? There's so much. People have dashboard cameras, right?
That is correct.
Driving around the car. So there were dozens, hundreds of videos of this thing streaking through the sky. Everybody runs up to the window to watch it. And then 3 minutes later, whack, the sonic booms hit the ground.
Yeah, and all the windows shattered. Buffs. And yeah, you had a lot of documentation because you're right. Everybody does use
the dash. Now, hold it. There was one more part of that.
Then here's the other part. What's your favorite ice cream?
It's vanilla. Vanilla is genius. People say vanilla is boring. I go, are you kidding? Vanilla is perfect. It's a perfect flavor.
It doesn't get any better than vanilla.
Not for me.
Right. And you know, most flavors are nothing but vanilla with something added to it.
My point. I was about to bring up my point. What is strawberry ice cream?
It's just vanilla with strawberries.
Yeah. Well, the word just vanilla, I got to remind you.
Okay,
careful there.
Please, by no means did I mean to diminish vanilla.
But I'm not going to get in a fist fight in the ice cream flavor bar. If you want to enjoy your chocolate chip, if you want your mint chocolate chip, if you want your peppermint stick, knock yourselves out.
Okay.
Because that's more for me. It's more vanilla for me.
All right. Fantastic, man. Let's move on. And let's grab another question here. And this one is from, he calls himself Red King. All right. Coming to us from Google. Mr. Nye, which occupation would best fit for a student majoring in aeronautical engineering and minoring in music theory? What a weird and not weird combination at all.
Well, it depends what you want to do. If you really dig rockets,
right.
I got to point out that the biggest significant problem in rocket launching are the acoustic waves, the acoustic energy in the flame tunnel. The flame duct.
Okay.
And so to me, acoustics and sound music theory are related, intimately, are smoochifying. So I encourage you.
Smoochifying?
Smoochifying.
I love it.
A little Nibonic coinage. I recommend that you pursue aerospace professionally and you keep playing music for kicks because we need you. We want you to take us this red. What's his name?
Red King.
Red King. He or she want you to take us to Mars.
Yeah. Well, Red King is a guy.
Well, it has a guy.
Yeah. It's a male designation king.
Yeah.
You know, Red Queen could go either way.
I'm glad you said it.
Yes.
I'm glad you said
Indeed
it.
Indeed, I did. Hey. Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. You started.
I did start it, but you know what? That's quite all right.
There was no goalie on that punchline.
There you go. Let's move on to Aaron W.
A-A-R?
No, not Aaron. Aaron.
E-R-I-N.
E-R-I-N. Aaron W. And Aaron wants to know this. What, if any, is the best way to present scientific fact in a way that won't make people super defensive? I'm thinking specifically of anti-vaccination crowd, but anyone can have irrational beliefs and fake science. Basically, how do you not get people PO'd?
Well,
in the face of science fact.
The thing about vaccinations is they are proven to work. Everybody enjoys his or her pasteurized milk. And the other thing to remember, not only are vaccinations designed to protect your kid from diseases, but they're designed to protect my kids from your kids.
Right.
Vaccinations work. And that this very well-known woman associated spuriously her kid's vaccination with autism, with the same time he or she was diagnosed with autism, is wrong, is bad science. It's been disproven, and I hope her views are discredited soon enough. Meanwhile, Chuck, we'll be back after this. Welcome back. Welcome back to Star Talk Radio. Bill Nye here, guest hosting for my beloved good buddy Neil deGrasse Tyson. And I'm here being interrogated by none other than Chuck Nice, who's got your questions submitted on that electronic computer internet with the electric computer machines that the kid's using. And he can see your avatar.
Yes, for the first time.
When you put in a question, we know what you want to look like.
That's right. We know who you are now. And we actually know who Mark Siegert is, or Seigert. I'm not particularly sure. Don't want to mess that up, Mark. But he's got a pretty cool question here for you, Bill. With the majority of stars in the universe being...
The majority of stars.
That's what he says. The majority of stars in the universe being red dwarfs and the majority of planets revolving around red dwarfs, is there any chance of life on those particular planets? And if yes, will it be completely different? Will plants or microorganisms be able to use the much weaker solar energy? So a different take on photosynthesis, basically, would there be?
I say there'd have to be.
Okay.
That's what I would say. And the reason I would say that is there's so many stars. When people throw around the expression billions and then billions and billions, it's really beyond imagining for most people. Now, you know, when I was young, people speculated that there would be a planet around every 100 stars, one in 100 stars.
Just one planet for every 100 stars.
Yeah. Then of those, how many of those would be Earth-like? You take another fraction. Well, it turns out Kepler Space Telescope, Hubble Space Telescope.
Right.
Apparently every star is a star system.
Right.
With planets.
Now, just a quick aside, why would the assumption be made that one planet for every 100 stars when our sun is a star and we clearly have 8 planets around our sun?
Well, we were just dealing with it, man. Nobody knew. You didn't have a Kepler Space Telescope. We were jamming. I'm talking about Frank Drake and Carl Sagan and our predecessors.
Predecessors. Okay, go ahead. So continue.
The chances of there not being life when you have billions of planets it seems extraordinarily low. That is to say, the chance of there not being anything just got to be vanishingly small. There has to be something out there.
Absolutely.
Just because we have green plants, which reflect green light mysteriously, that doesn't mean somebody else who hasn't had asteroid impacts, who didn't have all this sulfur or whatever the heck, cadmium, whatever else we might have on the iridium after the impact from the Kill the Ancient Dinosaur. Who knows what plants came up with or what living things came up with? There's got to be something out there. And if you meet somebody who says he or she has never wondered if there's anything out there, they're lying to you.
They're lying.
They're lying.
Just straight. We already know. We don't need a test. We just know. You're a liar. So you know what? If I ever encounter anyone who says, I've never really thought about it, I'm just going to call him a bald-faced liar out. Just
what
call
else
him
can
out.
I not trust you about?
All right. So that's cool. So there you have it. What a great answer. Because yes and yes.
There's got to be.
There'll be life there.
And are those organisms out there wondering about you and me?
Now that's a different story.
They wonder the same things. Where did we come from? Are we alone? Those two questions.
Maybe they're not wondering. Maybe they already know the answers.
Could be. Chuck, that's not my strongest material. Thank you for your
validation.
That was
good stuff, though. I like it. I like it. You're silly, and I didn't know that about you. That's fantastic.
Looks aren't everything.
All right, let's move on and get to Richard Moeller. Richard Moeller is...
What's his avatar look like?
I gotta tell you,
my business.
You know what?
He looks like an accountant. What is he?
Nope. I tell you, Rich is a family man. He's in the picture with his son or a child.
I was gonna say
a child because I've made assumptions with facts, not in evidence. So
that's right.
He is with a child.
It's not your kid. None of your kids.
It's not my kid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Clearly.
Yeah. I don't take pictures with my kids. So
you know of. Yeah.
All right. So here's what Richard wants to know: since people at the equator go faster relative to people closer to the poles, do they age more slowly?
It seems to me I've done this calculation in physics class.
For real?
Yeah.
Okay.
They do, but it's not much.
So it's insignificant.
Oh, it's insignificant for sure. But when you get into these thousandths of billionths, things do not add up.
Right. Gotcha.
But it's a cool question. And astronauts age ever so slightly more slowly than you and I do.
Just by being up there.
By being in orbit.
By being in orbit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Fantastic.
Now, the astronauts of the very near future, if we can use this term, who are go into where the sky is dark, 100 kilometers, Kármán limit, the Kármán limit, they're going to go up and down without going in orbit. They will be slightly younger. Oh, by the way, when you're in a jet airplane flying around the continent, around the world, your time is passing ever so slightly more slowly.
Slightly more slowly.
And for those of you who take physics and have not computed that, I encourage you to do that because it's fun. And then the other thing that's just used to rivet me was there was a question, what is the attraction, and then in parentheses, gravitational between a 70-kilogram boy and a 60-kilogram girl? In parentheses, gravitational. Boy, that was a titillating science problem right there. The gravitational constant times mass 1, mass 2 over the distance between them squared.
And that's gravitational. That's because gravitational. The other computation is boobs.
I am shocked. Absolutely shocked. and fascinated.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to Vardhan Narasimhan. Vardhan, I'm really sorry that I'm about to butcher your name.
But you're
like
not
this.
A native speaker of Hindi or Urdu.
It's Nazaretyan. Nazaretyan. Nazaretyan.
But Vardy is our buddy.
That's right.
Yeah.
So what is the best way to utilize an asteroid deflecting tech without actually having to use a spacecraft? If possible, like something, a space station on the moon that will deflect asteroids, though maybe a tractor beam. Some type of similar technology. So is Vardy just... watching too much Star Trek, or is this?
I don't think you can watch too much Star Trek.
That's so true. I think you're right about that.
I've tried. I haven't overdosed yet. The thing, I'm fine. I could quit if I wanted. The thing is, as soon as you say we're going to have something on the moon to deflect it, that's going to involve a spacecraft. Yeah. So
correct.
The question's trickily worded, but I think. Having a tractor beam is technology beyond us right now.
Mm-hmm.
However, you may recall Tom Swift and his Repellatron Skyway, Tom Swift Jr. He had Repellatrons, which would be beams that would repel objects. Instead of that, taking it one step less farther into the future, you could use Earth or moon-based lasers to zap the asteroid, if you could find it, and aim it with such precision and keep the beam narrow enough, and cause the material on the asteroid to volatilize, to ablate, to burn off, to eject. And then the momentum of the ejected material, fabulous Latin word, the ejecta, would then have you potentially, hypothetically, imaginationally, would have enough momentum to deflect the asteroid. We only need to change. Typical asteroid might be going... 20 kilometers a second.
20 kilometers a second.
And we got to deflect it about 2 millimeters a second, about a 10 millionth of its momentum. A 10 millionth of its delta of its V has to be changed, of its velocity and direction, speed and direction has to be changed. So this is that's not a bad, insightful, thoughtful insight. However, the problem is going to be an international one. Just finding the asteroids is a huge deal. And it is, Chuck,
yes.
The only, as far as anybody can reckon, the only preventable natural disaster. I am delighted that Vardy's out there thinking about this. And go get him.
Vardy is doing a great job thinking about
it. Go get him.
So you're saying basically it would be more, is it more feasible to repulse than it is to guide?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. But still, great that you think
But they're about. They're co-interrelated together between themselves.
I got you.
That is to say, puns intended. in that deflecting one is going to involve changing its velocity, changing its speed and direction somehow. Either you smack into it, or you get something with mutual gravity to tow it off course.
Right.
Or what we at the Planetary Society are all hot for is volatizing the surface with space based lasers
and awesome.
Our laser bee spacecraft.
I got to tell you, that's the first time I've ever heard that, and I think it's fantastic.
That's good. You keep thinking about that, and we'll be back right after this.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Welcome back. Bill Nye here, guest hosting on Star Talk Radio for my beloved buddy, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I don't want you all to be jealous, but I'm sitting here with Chuck Nice.
Oh, Bill.
Eat your hearts out, people. But you can join us by audio, by sound, because Chuck has some thoughtful insights that you have provided him. That is to say, some questions.
Some cosmic queries. And we have taken questions from all over the internet, whatever source that we are a part of, and our
now,
listeners.
As far as you know.
As far as we know.
All of these questions.
Yes.
All over the internet.
All over the internet.
Are from Earth. Is that right?
As far as I know. Mm. And I cannot confirm nor deny that.
Yes.
Except in my limited understanding of where they come, which would be, from what I know, the internet.
On Earth.
On Earth. That's all I know. But it could be. Let's move on to Madison Barnes. And Madison has also included a picture. Now, I'm pretty sure this is his child because it's an infant and he's laying on the bed with it and he looks really happy. By that description, maybe it's not his child.
I was going to say, are you associating with that? Is it completely unrecognizable to you as a parent?
As a parent, you're right. It's completely unrecognizable to me. So
16 miserable years.
Yeah, there you have it. And most of them because of the children, Bill.
I know. Insanity is hereditary. You get it from your kids.
That's right.
Absolutely.
All right, here we go from Madison Barnes. And Madison wants to know this. Finding the Higgs boson with the LHC was an amazing achievement. What are we looking for next with the LHC? And is there a bigger and better accelerator being built to succeed it? Wow. Interesting.
The Large Hadron Collider. As far as I know, there is not one being built. If I were king of the footies, we would build a bigger one.
Right.
Because these people, the atom-smashing people, my physics colleagues, they cannot get enough of smashing. They love smashing, and they learn something every time they smash.
Right.
So what I guess everybody wants to do is reproduce those results of the Higgs boson finding, which gives everything, apparently, gives everything mass. And then what I want to know... what we want in science is to find laws or rules or theories that make predictions that are true. The things they predict are true here on Earth, and they're true deep in the cosmos.
Gotcha.
So if there's all this dark energy and dark matter flying around out there, six times the mass of everything we can observe, well, isn't some of that stuff here? And would we find it by smashing things with even more smashness? Perhaps. And so, yes, I would like to build a bigger collider and look deeper. But this is a civilian, you know, as a mechanical engineer, I took a lot of physics. I know what you're thinking. Did you put it back? No. So that aside, it just seems to me what we see deep in the cosmos, we should observe here. And I'm pitching right now here on Star Talk Radio, R with a circle, copyright Bill Nye, Darkons.
Darkons.
Particles of dark.
Particles of dark.
Physics people, they love their particles. They can't get enough of particles. They got their neutrons, their protons. Are they really particles? Or do we just imagine them? There's photons. Are they really particles? Are these right. Sort of a way of thinking about things? And so maybe there are particles of dark energy that interact with dark matter, that
darkons.
Interact with our darkons, that interact with everything we know and see. And that discovery would, dare I say it, Chuck, change the world.
That would change the universe.
It would change our perception,
our understanding of the universe. Yeah. Actually, the universe would remain exactly the same.
As far as we know. Unless there's that extraordinary chance that we could build a collider big enough to change things.
Yes.
I don't like they do in the movies.
Well, that was an insightful question, I have to say. Nice job.
You don't have to sound so surprised.
Well, you know,
just because the guy's got a kid doesn't mean he can't think.
You know what? Okay, I had a joke there that I certainly cannot say.
All right.
Well, you said just because he's got a kid doesn't mean he can't think. But
they're saying it about you. Don't worry. That's
right. I'm saying it about myself. It's a little late for the thinking part. Here we go. Let's go with.
You're embarrassing me, Dad.
You've been in my house.
I've heard tell.
Eric of. Valde wants to know this, Bill. Okay, so thinking about relativity and how time does funny things when something is super massive or moving fast, I have in my kitchen a stove and a microwave, each with a respective clock. I have synchronized the clocks, and after a few weeks, noticed that the microwave is running 4 to 5 minutes faster. So my question is my microwave moving faster or slower through the universe, or is it denser than a stove, Eric?
I would say neither.
Neither.
They're moving at pretty much exactly the same speed through the universe, but there's different circuitry running the clocks. Now, back in the day, this would be 3.5 years ago, the power company was required to count a number of cycles of 60 cycle power a week.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer have that requirement, although by long tradition, most power companies do. So what you are witnessing is an artifact of the circuit design. And so if we'll see in the near future if the next generation of these appliances includes clocks that are coordinated with global positioning satellites. And that is a fantastic system. I hope you'll think about it because we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Bill Nye here, guest hosting for my beloved Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I'm here with none other than Chuck Nice.
Hey, Bill.
Who, with his electronic tablet machine, is wrangling your brilliant questions, which you sent to us on the internet. And I just want to remind everybody, the thing that Chuck seems to be fascinated with, of course, he's fascinated with your questions, but I can tell he's looking at your avatars, your little pictures.
I have to tell you, and this next gentleman, which is Danny H., is tweeting to us from...
You know it's a guy?
Yes, I... I'm
see,
unless there the bottom go. Of this picture will reveal something quite shocking, this is a guy.
Well, we'll get to it. It makes sense. Okay.
So Danny wants to know this. Gravity can affect light, yes. As in general rel.
General rel, we call it, apparently.
Okay. But can it affect strong nuclear force, or do black holes already do that?
Black holes certainly affect light.
Light, right.
And the strong nuclear force, I think, I'm not an expert on this, I think is independent of photons. I mean, that's one of its deals. Light is comprised of photons.
Mm-hmm.
Photons can affect electron orbitals, but I don't think they can get in there to the strong nuclear force. Now, perhaps in coming weeks, our beloved Neil will have a great deal more to say about that. But I think photonic interactions don't happen inside between quarks and baryons, heavy particles in atomic nuclei. With that said, the stuff that goes on in black holes is not very well understood. So maybe things are torn apart and photons take on a new something that we don't understand inside black holes.
Gotcha.
Investigating black holes, tricky business.
I would say so.
Can't see them. What about that?
Flying blind, huh? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
There you go. All right, Danny. Hey, that's there you have it, man. The answer is pretty much
Probably not. Almost certainly not.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this one is from @OldManCarson. And this is Jonathan Carlson, @OldManCarlson, wants to know.
If you want to send him an email.
Yeah. If you want to tweet Jonathan, it's @OldManCarlson. And maybe that's an old picture because he looks like a very young man. If in the double hole electron experiment, E goes through walls and I'm made of E, why can't I go through walls?
Maybe you'll be able to, but making yourself out of E is a big difficulty.
Therein lies the
electric field.
There's the rub, huh?
But once again, our heroes on Star Trek, they do it all the time.
Absolutely. You can transport down into, if there's a cavern a couple miles underground.
Yes.
Go right there.
And no, when you get there, everybody will speak perfect English.
Exactly.
<It's> amazing.
That is the cool thing. However, now, that's very funny. That's true.
Well,
they all speak perfect English.
Well, it's a big time saver when you're going to do a TV show.
Hey, guess what? It's
the United States for audiences that are native speakers.
English. It's the business language of the universe, people.
Of aerospace, it is. That's for sure.
Oh, cool.
Now, when you travel around the world, go to the Astronautical Congress and what have you, as I have. Yes. everybody speaks English because NASA just, you know, and Boeing.
Right.
McDonnell Douglas just established this. So the Wright brothers just established this so far back.
Exactly.
That it's going to be. But who knows what the future holds? Who knows what your children will be speaking when they run their own software companies? The Mandarin and Cantonese and Urdu.
Are you hinting at the inevitable decline of our great empire, Bill?
No, but the developing world is developing.
The developing world is developing. So are you saying that we might have to learn Cantonese or Mandarin? Well, Cantonese it would be because Mandarin is.
What have you. Tonal languages. And so this is not a bad thing. It's a thing. When you meet people from Europe, they routinely speak two or three languages because they have to.
Okay.
And that's neither here nor there. But, you know, you can drive all the way across the country of France in 6 or 7 hours. You drive 6 hours out of here, you barely get to Buffalo.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, so 6 hours away. We're not even in Pittsburgh. You know?
It's not that we're all bad. It's that the U.S. turned out to be this huge country. So do we have one more question? Because the break's approaching. I feel the excitement.
You know what? I'm going to give you this question, but you might have to answer it after the break.
Whoa.
Because I think you're going to need some time for this. But this is what @RTFeely wants to know. Climate change deniers drive me crazy. How can we convince them that the data is real and not some scam?
I'll tell you right after this.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Bill Nye here, guest hosting for my beloved, my good friend, Neil deGrasse Tyson here on Star Talk Radio. I don't want you to be jealous. Yes, I'm here with Chuck Nice. And he is all that, ladies. He is nice. Now, Chuck, we had a question right before the break.
Yes, we did. And R.T. Feely wanted to know, climate change deniers drive me crazy. How can we convince them that the data is real and not some kind of scam?
Well, here's the thing about the scam. Conspiracy theories are lazy. Wouldn't it be nice if there were someone in charge screwing things up on purpose? But actually, things are screwed up just sort of by accident. We got 7 billion people living on a planet where the atmosphere is just this thick.
Right.
If you could drive straight up on some crazy road with some crazy car, you'd be in outer space in an hour and a half. The way people drive in New York, you'd be there in 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So conspiracy theories are not very good explanations for things, especially something as complicated as climate change. I encourage you to read The Hockey Stick. By Michael Mann. Full disclosure, paperback version, I wrote the foreword. Now, Chuck, it's time for the lightning round.
Yes, it is. You have the bell there. And what we are going to do is we are going to zip through these questions as quickly as possible.
Let me remind you.
Go ahead.
This installment of the Lightning Round is powered by our good friends over at GE. You should head over to their YouTube page and take a quick look at some of the cool things they're doing. Quick, right after this segment, www.youtube.com/GE. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the Lightning Round. And there you go. Let's start with Rachel Pomeroy at Rachel Palm. She wants to know this. We know some things can be ignited with light. Can anything be ignited with sound?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Sure.
What?
You get it vibrating at its natural frequency. If it's something that's going to fatigue,
yeah.
You ever try to straighten out a paperclip and it gets warm?
It gets hot.
Take a rubber band, stretch it. It gets hot. You can get it hot enough to burn.
Whoa! That was awesome. All right. This is at Corbin Bonspod. Okay? This is Daniel is his name. And he actually sent this to you. Because you're at Science Guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he wants to know, at Science Guy. Here we go. Here
really?
We go.
That's a question?
I lost the question on my
Chuck
tablet.
Fine, crap.
Here we go. Let's go.
We got it.
Could we build a space elevator to the moon's pole from the Earth's pole? Space elevator.
Very difficult business because the moon is going around the Earth. It's orbiting, although because even though it has a little libration, it faces the same face to us. It's an eigenvalue, if you're scoring along with us, a proper value. So it rotates once every month. So you're going to have a pivot. You're going to have something like a cowboy's wrist with his lasso.
Excellent. The answer is no.
Yeah. Yes, it's no.
This one is from at One Guilty Pleasure. Also for you. This is straight to you, Bill. Is it possible that dark matter is the excrement of a black hole? He's being funny, but I know what he's asking.
Yeah,
it's pretty funny.
It could be. Things that fall into a black hole come out another part of the universe at another time.
Right.
Have they been modified, the things that fall in? Has the stuff turned into dark stuff?
Right.
Has it become comprised of Darkons?
Darkons. Awesome. So the answer is maybe.
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 A clear maybe.
That's right. Okay. Let's Let's go.
It's lightning, Chuck. Let's go.
Let's go. Here we go. This one is from Mark, and he wants to know this. Can we protect a spaceship with an artificial magnetic field the same way it's around our Earth?
Hypothetically, people talk about this quite a bit. If you had a huge power source, by power, I mean electricity power source, some reactor with a Stirling engine and a generator out there on your spacecraft, you could maybe make a magnetic field so powerful that you would deflect the solar wind and all those particles and cosmic rays that could, maybe not cosmic rays, the things that could cause you trouble.
All the radiation.
Could be, the radiation could be deflected around your ship.
So the answer is?
Yes.
Yes. Number one, shields up. Okay, this one from
Shield 4 is bucklings. Shield 4, it's always trouble. Lead on.
This is from at Laura Lee Biology. Can Bill comment on Hawking's new claims regarding event horizons?
Yeah. I mean, it's apparently he's things that fall into black holes may not come out at another part of the universe at another time. You may be a way to get the energy back. That's the way I understand the paper.
Gotcha.
And she asked, can I comment? I did. I mean, ignorantly.
Fantastic. All right. This one from at CJ Robinson wants to know this. What would happen to our atmosphere if gravity was turned off for 1 minute? So no gravity on Earth for 1 minute. What would the effects be?
We remind you, inertia is a property of matter. So I guess if we turned off the gravity for a minute, everything would continue to spin through space for a while, but then you'd start getting a lot of outgassing, random collisions. The atmosphere would be warmer than space, so those molecules would bounce off each other and disappear forever.
Whoa. Okay, so we're running out of time. We're down to the wire. This is from Scott Avion, and he wants to know, what advice can you give a new science teacher from K-12 trying to really engage their children and get them excited about sciences?
Oh, that's a fabulous question. Chuck, what was your favorite thing about your favorite teachers?
They made me want to learn.
They're passionate.
They're passionate.
They're passionate. So, Guy, what's his name?
Yeah, Scott.
Scott, let your passion come through. And we'll see you next time on Star Talk Radio. I'm here with Chuck Nice, and we have had nothing but fun. Thanks for listening.